there was a biker shop, there was like a metalhead shop, and that's all there was. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to give people this new idea of like, look, this is what tattooing can be. It's so much bigger than St. Joe, Michigan.
Yeah. Everybody, and welcome back to Hustlin' in Heels podcast. I am your host, Stacy, and I am without my co-host tonight. There is no Angie in the studio, and so I'm wiping away tears as I drink wine. I might have to drink for the both of us tonight. Angie is nursing a cold and a not present voice, and so she figured it'd be better for her to hang out on her couch tonight and rest up for next week's episode. So we are glad that you're joining us, though. Thanks for hanging out with us wherever you listen to your podcast. And before I forget, if you do have any requests for topics or if you have guest suggestions, you can contact us at letschat@hihpod.com or on all other social media platforms at Hustlin' and Heels or HIHpod. And check us out on Facebook, send us a message, leave us a review on iTunes, and all that good kind of stuff. So I'm drinking some wine tonight, and I decided to go with some oaked Chardonnay. The snow is falling outside, so typically I would choose like a nice red, but I had this sitting in my fridge and I thought, what wine can I bring that can sit in my car all day long, get nice and chilled, and be ready for the studio? And it just happened to be a fancy bottle of oaked Chardonnay, which is better for me than regular Chardonnay because I like oak barrels, and that's the good stuff. So if you have any wine recommendations, feel free to pass those along to us as well. So I'm not alone in the studio, though, tonight. I have a fellow podcast host, a member of the NBI studio family, Mr. Zach Weaver. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. How does it feel to be here in the studio, but on the other side?
It's strange. It's really strange, but it's fun.
Yeah, so Zach is the host of Made Us podcast. If you haven't checked that out yet, it's one of our podcasts on the NBI Studios family. Definitely check that out. Download Made Us wherever you get your podcast. Check him out on Facebook as well. He has a pretty cool story. We're going to jump into that here shortly. And we'll get to what Made Us is about. But Zach had me on as a guest a couple weeks ago, and I had a great time. So I wanted to invite him back to the studio tonight. And he doesn't live far, so he said yes. He was like, oh, fine, I'll come hang out with you. But I'm bringing my own drink, he said.
I did.
So he's too good for the oak Chardonnay tonight. He brought some Uncle Tito along with him.
The oak Chardonnay is way too classy for me.
So you just had to bring your Tito's and Rockstar in a Bears tumbler.
Yeah.
How you feeling about those Bears?
No. Oh, that's painful. That's so unbelievably painful. I pouted. Yeah. I definitely pouted all of Sunday.
So I love the meme that you shared on Facebook about how your wife saw you the rest of the day. Like this picture, like these different pictures of, like guys just moping with their bear shirts on.
Yeah, so. That was exactly me.
Sorry about that. Yeah. I know nothing else about the game other than that the Bears lost because like every other post on my Facebook feed was that.
So. Yeah, it was a huge loss, and it was dramatic the way that it went down. Mm. And that's all I.
That's all you can say.
It's over.
It's a sore subject.
We're done. It's sore.
Did I just trigger you?
Yeah, it's bad. That's it. I'm leaving.
He's out of here. So Zach, tell us a little bit. Tell the listeners a little bit about you. Who's Zach Weaver?
Who is Zach Weaver? I am a tattooer by trade, a competitive shooter by passion, and I also am a podcaster. I've been tattooing for, I have to think about it, almost 15 years now. Mm-hmm. I started in South Bend, Indiana, just kind of fell into an apprenticeship, worked my way along, traveled across the country tattooing. Eventually, when I decided it was time to open a studio, I wanted to come back home. So My mother lives in St. Joe, and that was the perfect place. I mean, when I travel across the country seeing studios in different atmospheres, St. Joe had that same vibe, a really nice like walking area. You can walk around. You don't have to like necessarily drive to it. We're right downtown St. Joe. So that was kind of the evolution of that.
So you talk about starting on as an apprenticeship, and yeah. This is something actually until you just said that I never really realized, like what is the on-the-job training for tattoo artists? Because I mean, I'm assuming for just like kind of people in the health industry, like there has to be people willing to let you learn.
Yeah. So when you start tattooing, every apprenticeship is a little different. So some apprenticeships are, you don't do anything. You show up, you scrub toilets, you know, you do drawings, you talk to people. My mentor was very like hands-on. When he offered me the apprenticeship, I don't know exactly, it was probably like a Thursday or something, and they closed over the weekend. And he said, you start Tuesday, bring somebody with you, you're tattooing. And that's how this is going to go down. And that's what I did. I brought someone with me. I kind of knew, I mean, I don't want to say I knew what I was doing, because I definitely didn't know what I was doing. But I had an idea of, I've been tattooed a lot. I've actually done a few tattoos.
Okay.
Here and there.
Under the table.
Under the table, so to speak. There is a backstory. I actually started an apprenticeship at a different shop.
Okay.
That I don't count at all, because once I figured it out, I figured out that guy didn't know what the hell he was doing.
Oh.
And that's actually how I found my mentor, is the one thing he knew is what a good tattoo looked like. And at that time, that was pre-Facebook, that was pre-MySpace, that was at the time that you only saw tattoo magazines. The only place to find tattoos was in tattoo magazines. And if you looked at tattoo magazines, on the corner of the picture, it would have the artist's name and the location. And we would sit and look at tattoo magazines, and he would explain to me what a good tattoo was. He couldn't do a good tattoo, but he knew what it looked like. So he showed me that. And one day I was flipping through the magazine, I found a tattoo I really liked, and I looked at the name, and I was like, oh, it's Todd Melson. This guy's in South Bend. You know, at this time I was in St. Joe.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's only like 45 minutes away. I'm going to go get tattooed by this guy. So I went down and I got tattooed by the guy, and I took a drawing with me, and I showed him the drawing. And at this point, I didn't really think anything about him, you know, actually mentoring me. I just was going to have him help me. So he kind of critiqued the drawing, told me some things to change. I went home, changed the drawing. I went back the next week with the same drawing, but the changes. He gave me more changes. And I did it again. And at some point, when I did it again, he came in and he said, do you want to learn how to tattoo? I'm like, hell yes. You start Tuesday, bring someone with you. And he was a really sink or swim.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's the only way to learn.
Sure.
Is to actually do the process. There's a lot of things you have to learn along the way, but the only way to do it is to actually do the tattoo.
Yeah. But unlike a lot of other fields, you have to have a willing victim to allow you to do it on them. So who did you bring, and how did that conversation go?
You start with your really dumb friends. Is really where it starts. You start with your really dumb friends, you know, with the promise of, I don't know how this is going to go, but when I get better, I'll fix it.
It's a free tattoo.
And it's a free tattoo.
Okay.
So you do that. Then you move up to your slightly smarter friends and family, and you kind of snowball from there. At a certain point, you can, as much as I don't like to stereotype people, because I do get stereotyped myself, you can stereotype people a little bit. So we'd have people come in the door, and you could kind of see the person, how much they would want to spend. So they'd come in for a tattoo, and my mentor would say, it's going to be $150. Or my apprentice, who's learning how to tattoo, can do the tattoo for $20. And a lot of people will go for it.
Really?
Even knowing the chances, even knowing everything about it, they will go for that. So you kind of learn there. And then you start taking on smaller things. Yeah.
I mean, I guess not really surprising, but I mean, you're coming into a tattoo parlor. You know you're going to get something permanent on you.
Yeah.
And so something that's going to be on you forever, you're willing to be like, it'll probably be fine.
We joke about it a lot that people are really weird about spending money on tattoos. It's a product that will stay with you the rest of your life.
Yes.
It's one of the few things you'll have forever.
Forever.
People will go out and spend $200 on a pair of shoes, but then won't spend $100 on a tattoo because they weren't trying to be cheap. And you're like, you're literally going to have this the rest of your life.
Yeah. And like with a lot of other things, you get what you pay for.
Absolutely.
In the tattoo world, right? I'm sure you've seen a lot of awful tattoos.
I have. I've done a lot of awful tattoos at the beginning of my career, to be honest.
So you've been doing it for what?
Almost 15 years. Yeah.
How many years into it were you until you were like, all right, I think I'm pretty good at this?
it takes, honestly, probably 2 to 3 years mm-hmm. before you start consistently doing nice tattoos. Over the first 2 years, you'll hit one. You'll get mm-hmm. one. You're like, oh, I did a good tattoo. Mm-hmm. And then they start becoming more frequent. But it takes 2 to 3 years before every tattoo you do, you know, is going to be like yeah. a solid tattoo. Yeah.
You can't let the people know that you're doing the tattoo on, though, that it's not a solid one.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. It's definitely, you definitely learn on your feet. You wing it a lot. A lot of times, it's not necessarily that it will turn out to be a bad tattoo. But a lot of times, so like when you're outlining a tattoo, it has to be a really crisp line. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you get a little wiggle in it, mm. you know, especially early on when you don't have any hand strength, you get a little wiggle in the line. Well, then you have to go back and fix that. Mm-hmm. And then there's ways to hide that. You know, you can shade off of that to hide it. So
I
used to joke that I didn't know how I was going to shade a tattoo until I was done outlining because I had to figure out where I had to hide. And that's terrible to say, but it's definitely, you know, if you look at my work now, it's definitely yeah. evolved to something different. Yeah. But
well, it's an art.
It is.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's not like you're using a machine. Yeah, you're using the machine, but that machine is in your hand being controlled by you.
Yeah, it's a handcraft.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are going to be areas of error that yep. are going to happen. But hopefully you get enough dumb people that don't realize.
Exactly.
You just messed it up.
I think I'm one of the few people. I don't want to say I'm one of the few people, but I'm one of the few people that openly talk about that.
Yeah.
That it's like, because it's part of it. It's truly part of it. People might not want to hear that, but yeah, those first couple of years you tattoo, you're not doing great tattoos.
No.
It just is how it is. And really, that's any career for
any
the most
job.
Part. The first year you're on a job, you might think you're killing it, but you're definitely having to figure some things out.
Yeah. So, side note to those of you considering getting a tattoo, maybe your first question should be, how many years have you been doing this?
You know, that is a good question. Uh-huh. But sometimes that doesn't always hit it either, because I've seen a lot of people that have tattooed for a long time that still haven't figured
it out. That still suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a sucky tattoo is still a sucky tattoo, yeah. regardless of how many years.
Biggest thing, look at portfolios.
Okay.
So.
All right. Yep.
Come in, look at portfolios. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, with the internet now, Facebook, all of that stuff, it's everywhere. It's super easy to find somebody that does good tattoos.
Right. Especially with Pinterest, because you love Pinterest.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I mean, 80% of my viewers are women. So yeah. I'm going to assume, because I am also just going to stereotype on this episode, that most of them are on Pinterest as well, because that's where I got my tattoo idea, right? And so how much do you love Pinterest?
Here's the deal. I'll stop for a second. I don't feel that your tattoo is a Pinterest tattoo.
Well, it's not.
You may have found it on Pinterest.
I found a picture of it on Pinterest.
But it's not a Pinterest tattoo.
No, it's not.
The tattoos that we get that people bring from Pinterest are the very like cliche tattoos that you're starting to see. The infinities with the word in it.
Yeah.
The feather with the birds breaking out of
it. Yes.
You see those over and over and over again because people found it on Pinterest.
Right.
And you're like, okay, you found this. How mm-hmm. many other people do you think found this as well? Let us draw you something unique.
Oh, yeah. So that's part of your okay, so that's an interesting point because I only have one tattoo and Zach did the tattoo. We can tell the story about that in a second, but and mine was a very simple one. So I just needed a picture of it. And so I guess I could have gotten a picture of that
anywhere.
Design anywhere. But so part of your job, though, I guess probably part of what you think is people can come in and you've already drawn things that they can look at, or you can draw them something that's kind of part of it for you.
Everything I do is 100% custom. So everything I do, I work with the person getting tattooed. Uh-huh. I don't have anything to pick from. That's not how I work.
Okay.
I come in, or you come in, mm-hmm. I sit and talk with you, we mm-hmm. decide what you want to get, and I will draw it for you so that you get your own unique tattoo.
Oh,
that way you're getting something that is yours and yours alone. And I think that's a big part, because when you go into a street shop that has the images on the wall
yes.
you can pick from, it's called Flash.
Okay.
When they have Flash on the wall, that Flash is sold all over the country.
Gotcha.
So that tattoo you just picked out, there's at least 1,000 other people that have that tattoo.
Oh, so your shop is not run like that?
Not at all.
Do you have a portfolio that people can look at?
Yeah, we have portfolios of our work, so you can see the quality of our work. And that's it. You know, we can kind of point people out that way.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's hard because somebody will come in and they can't look at the quality of work.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it might be good quality work, they might not see what they're looking for and they can't quite comprehend that, like, no, this is still good quality and I can do that for you. But just because I don't have this particular flower,
yes,
you know, I have other flowers in my book, but because I don't have this particular lily in my book, doesn't mean I can't do it.
Right.
You know?
So is that part of the process? Do they come in and let's say you had to draw something for them. Do you draw that and then they come back, or is that all part of the whole appointment?
It depends on what it is.
Gotcha.
A lot of times if it's a smaller tattoo, mm-hmm. it's done right. I can draw it right then and there. We can talk about it. I can get it drawn. We can do the tattoo. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of my clientele is big stuff. Sleeves, half sleeves, back pieces. So that does require time to draw.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a little back and forth on that.
Huh. So do you get people that just walk in and say, I want a tattoo. I'm not really sure what I want. Or do most people have an idea?
I would say it's probably 80% of the time people have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other 20% of the time, we don't tattoo those people. Not because we don't want to, but I can't just pick something for you. I don't know you.
But does that happen? People come in and say, I want a tattoo?
Yeah, people come in a lot and like, I don't know, just draw me something. Well, I'm like, I can't just draw you something. Like, I would love to, but I could draw you 1,000 things and you're going to hate every one of them.
Right.
So give me some input. That's usually what I ask for.
Yeah.
If somebody says, just draw me something, I'm like, at least give me a direction.
Right.
And
like,
I
what
can
are you thinking?
Yeah.
What's the general idea that you want?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you come in and you want a skull, but you tell me to draw whatever and I draw you a flower, that's not what you're going to want.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, you kind of go back and forth.
Huh. Now, how did you know you wanted to be a tattoo artist? I mean, were you just an artist in general growing up? How did that all evolve?
So, this is a long one.
Okay.
My parents are divorced. My parents have been divorced my entire life. My mother took care of me. Pretty much as a single parent. Wasn't that my dad necessarily wasn't in the picture. He was just, he traveled and worked and he was just wasn't around. So as a single parent, my mom took me everywhere. I was probably 6 years old when she got her first tattoo. She took me with her to get tattooed and I was fascinated. At that point, I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I knew pretty much at that moment that I'm like, I want to do this. Now, with that being said, my grandmother's also an artist. She's taught painting classes for 40 plus years. So that was, I mean, art was already in my life.
Yeah.
So I always drew and I wanted to tattoo. But when you start getting into middle school and high school, that's not exactly what the guidance counselors tell you is an appropriate career path.
Correct.
Especially at the time that I was going through, because it wasn't. You know, at the time that I was going through, it was still very taboo. You know, the industry's changed, the perception of it's changed in the last 10 years. Where at this point, it wasn't. It was still, you know, it was very, I don't want to say low life, but that was kind of the perception. It was very low life. So that wasn't what people said to do. So at that point, I started doing graphic design for Heathkit Educational Systems, which was in Benton Harbor at the time.
Okay.
Heathkit's been around forever. They've kind of evolved, but Heathkit's been around forever. And I started doing that, and then I started getting tattooed, and it brought back that desire to tattoo. And that's kind of where I started falling in. And I fell in with a shop and a gentleman that was kind of helping me out. And like I said, at that point, at a certain point in there, I kind of realized he didn't really know what he was doing either.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I came across Todd and I just kind of fell into it from there. But it was instilled in me really early, kind of by accident, just because my mother wasn't a great parent. You know, like I love my mom. She was a good mom. She was a terrible parent. And I've told her this several times. I'm like, you don't take your 6-year-old with you to get a tattoo.
I mean, if you don't have a babysitter, what else are you going to do? Well, it's experiential learning. That's what they call it.
Well, here's the deal with that. This isn't nowadays either.
Right.
I was six. This was 90.
Yeah.
You know, right around in there. It's a whole different ball game. This is a biker tattoo shop.
Ah,
you know, this is.
I see.
The vibe is different. You know, now it's a lot more artsy. You know, there's kids.
Artsy and sterile and.
Yeah. There's kids that actually go to art school to tattoo now. You know, so it's a whole different environment. Whereas at the time that I was introduced, it was still that quote unquote. Low life, kind of.
Why do you think that changed?
There's a lot of reasons. I mean, it did become more acceptable. I think as generations kind of come through, you know, they talk about fads come in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at our parents' generation,
yeah,
our parents' generation wasn't tattooed.
Right.
Their parents' generation was tattooed.
Right.
And I think
a lot of them from the military. Right?
A lot of them were from the military. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of why my parents weren't tattooed, was because my grandfather was tattooed and hated his tattoo.
Huh.
So that was all that like my dad ever saw.
Yeah.
Or that my mom, and you know, there was this person that hated this tattoo.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she kind of rebelled and got one. Mm-hmm. But then our generation, our parents didn't have tattoos. So we rebelled and got tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
And then at a certain point, it got picked up on TV. And that was a huge turning point. When they started putting it in mainstream media, that was a huge turning point for the industry. And really, it was a double-edged sword. It really helped the industry and really hurt the industry. I'm probably the last generation or class of tattooer that started before the TV. So I was at the end of my apprenticeship when Miami Ink started. And Miami Ink was like the first tattoo TV show that came on. And it really, I mean, it opened people's eyes that like, oh, tattooing can be better than what we think it is and can be nicer than what we think it is. But then it also opened that door of like every schmo thinks they can do it now.
Right.
So, you know, it was a very, it, you know, the benefits definitely outweighed the bad side of it, but it was a double-edged sword for sure. But I think the TV is really what helped propel that notion that it's not as bad as everybody thinks it is. And it's not bad.
No, I would agree with that. I mean, growing up, I never thought I would get a tattoo. Yeah. And here I was, 37 years old, you know, sending you a message on Facebook saying, all right, I'm ready. I've thought about it. I'm ready. I'm ready to get a tattoo. Now, mine's huge, right? I got a huge tattoo.
Huge. Huge.
Took all of 5 minutes.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So my listeners know that I got a Spartan helmet tattoo after completing the trifecta. And so that was something I thought about for a long time and told myself if I finished that, I would do that kind of as a sense of accomplishment. And 2018 was kind of a, you know, it was one of those growing years for me where I had to like figure out who I was, you know? And so that was kind of part of that. But do you, because a lot of my listeners are women, do you get a lot of women, you know, in midlife, I'm not going to say I'm midlife, right? Like, but I basically am. Who come in who are like for their first tattoos?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would say probably 90% of my clientele is, for lack of a better term, like that soccer mom age. You know what I mean? Like the 35 plus.
Yeah.
That's probably 90% of my clientele.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. And especially where we're at.
Well, being because you're in St. Joe.
Being that we're in St. Joe, you know, being that Whirlpool's right there. You know, everything's a little more.
It's a professional town, but also a beach town kind of, you know.
Yeah. But I would say a lot of my clientele is women and is women is, I would say 30 plus for sure.
Can you just by them walking in the door, are you like, okay, here we go. We're going to have soccer mom getting her first tattoo today.
Maybe a few years ago, I think that, but you know, you get surprised a lot.
Yeah.
You get really surprised a lot at people come in. You never know what to expect. And that's, that's kind of that whole story about not judging a book by its cover because you don't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. You know, anybody can come through that door and get something. Mm-hmm. You do have people that come in too that you would never expect. I've tattooed an 86-year-old woman that got her first tattoo.
Oh, that's awesome.
Super funny. Mm-hmm. Is your show explicit?
Yes.
Okay. Super funny. Got a rose on her hand asked to get a rose on her hand. And I said, you know, this is your first tattoo. You don't have any tattoos. You know, a hand tattoo is very visible. You can't hide it. And she said, honey, I'm 86 years old. If they don't like it, fuck them. And I was like, this woman
like, I love you.
Is the best. This woman is awesome.
Oh.
Yeah. So you never know what to expect.
Yeah.
We had a woman come in. I did not tattoo this woman. One of my other coworkers did. But same deal. I think she was in her 80s, got her first tattoo. And he was asking her, he said, well, why are you getting your first tattoo now? She said, Herb always hated tattoos. Herb died last year.
Did she follow up with a fuck Herb?
It wasn't a fuck Herb, but it was funny, like, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, our clientele is all over the place, but we do have a lot of, you know, I don't think it's the stereotype's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do you have, I mean, how many people do you think you've tattooed over the last 15 years?
We've kind of talked about this. We're guesstimating probably about 10,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Something that I thought was very interesting that I think my listeners would find interesting as well is when I was on your show, you talked about how people have this idea that they have this very close connection with their tattoo artist.
Yeah.
However, for you, that they might be the sixth person of the day that you tattooed.
Absolutely.
And if they see you in the store and they have, you're their tattoo artist, they have this close connection, you might not even remember who they are.
No, absolutely.
Right?
And there are days, you know, typically my typical day is 2 to 3 tattoos a day.
Mm-hmm.
I also do a lot of larger stuff. So it's 2 to 3 larger tattoos a day. But I've also had a day where I tattooed 44 people. We did a benefit, a cancer benefit, and I tattooed 44 people in one day.
Mm-hmm.
You can't remember that.
No.
And that's exactly it. So when people come to get tattooed, you know, I am a large portion of that process to them. I, you know, I'm there. They're talking to me. I'm doing this tattoo. There's a connection there.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, on the other end, they might be the sixth person I've tattooed today. I don't have that same connection with them. So when I see people in the store, I try the best I can to be nice, you know, and to say hi.
Yeah.
But a lot of times I don't know who they are, you know, or I start looking for a tattoo, trying to like,
Oh, which one was that?
Maybe I can figure this out.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, because they're kind of in a vulnerable position. Like, they're laying on the bed, they're getting tattooed. You know, I mean, they could be in pain. And so, yeah, you play a large role in that process.
Absolutely.
But, you know, for you.
And I hate to say, like, you know, it's not that I'm trying to be cold or not know these people.
No.
But it's just, it's the matter of fact, you know, that's how it goes.
Right.
You know, and there are a lot of people that I do know that I've tattooed several times that I have built friends with, you know.
Sure.
And it's really nice. But when you have somebody come in, you know, if I didn't know you, if I didn't have an extra relationship with you, I wouldn't know you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Your tattoo was 5 seconds, five 6 minutes. Months ago.
It was 5 minutes.
Oh, 5 minutes. Sorry. your tattoo was 5 minutes, 6 months ago.
Right.
You know? Do you remember someone you spent 5 minutes with 6 months ago?
Oh, no.
Exactly.
I have a hard time. I taught for 10 years, and I will still see kids, and I recall their faces, but damned if I can remember all their names.
Yeah.
You know, and then I think about it, I'm like, all right, I had 30 kids in a class, 5 classes a day. So we're talking about 150 kids for 10 years, you know, and then plus I did other teaching stuff. It's like, man, I can't remember all those kids. I can remember their faces. I just can't remember their names. So I totally get that. Do you have some of, you know, you've been doing it for 15 years. Do you have some favorites, like some that you just, that will just stick in your mind forever?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always a tattoo or two that really pop out on you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's stuff you don't ever expect. I have a really good client of mine that the tattoo that we started with was a very simple tattoo on her wrist. And before I knew it, she's got 2 full sleeves. She's got her neck done, her chest done. You know, I mean, she's covered. And they're beautiful, and for whatever reason, I mean, her skin just holds ink. I mean, it's just one of those that'll always be one of my favorite tattoos. Mm-hmm. That didn't even, I don't want to say it didn't start to be one of my favorite tattoos, but it was like, it wasn't like one of these drawings that I had that I was like, oh, I love this.
Yeah.
It just evolved into that.
And she just kept adding and adding and adding. Why do you, people say tattoos are addictive, right?
Yep.
So do you believe that?
Sort of. You know, I don't necessarily, I think people enjoy looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get a tattoo and they feel badass about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of have that like, oh, I'm badass. That wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. I could get another one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the addictive portion.
Yeah.
Now there is some pseudoscience that kind of goes into this too, that there is your body releases endorphins, which is your natural painkiller.
Yeah.
And it kind of gives you a little body buzz.
Yeah.
So some people say that's what they like.
Huh.
Now, I don't think that's a big deal.
Yeah.
I probably have close to 200 hours on my body.
Yeah.
I don't like getting tattooed. You know, like it doesn't, like I like having tattoos.
Yeah.
I look forward to getting my next one. Uh-huh. I don't like getting tattooed. Uh-huh. So I think the actual process of being addictive, I don't necessarily know about that.
Yeah.
But some people say it's therapy too. I have a lot of people that kind of joke about it, half joke about it, that it's kind of a physical release. You know, and it's not that you'd ever want to. I'm definitely not condoning this.
Mm-hmm.
But you have people that do self-mutilation that obviously is terrible.
Right.
But they get a release out of that. And this is almost a controlled version of that for some people. And it's helping people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean, again, I'm not condoning self-mutilation. Sure. I'm not condoning people cutting themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of gives those people that same satisfaction. And at least it's in a controlled, you know, a controlled environment where we're taking care of it.
Yeah. Nope. I totally get that. And, and going back to the whole tattoos as addictive, like I even find myself now, like I'll think of something or I'll see something and I'm like, oh, that'd be a cool tattoo. You know, maybe I'll do that for my next one. Like my next one?
Yeah, you're
like, it took me 37 years to get one.
Yep.
You know, and I'm like, oh, what do I want for my next one?
Yep.
So
you broke that threshold.
I did. Broke the seal.
Yep.
As they would say.
Yep. And that's all it is. You know, and that's exactly it. You're thinking about the tattoo. You're like you said, this is, oh, this would look really nice as a tattoo. Maybe this is my next one. You're not addicted to like remembering that 5 minutes of like,
no,
oh shit, this doesn't feel great.
You know? Mm-hmm. It didn't hurt like I thought it would, but I got it in a spot that doesn't really
well,
hurt.
And it's not excruciating. I'll tell anybody that it's not excruciating,
no.
But it's also not a massage.
No,
you know, it's a cat scratch or a bee sting.
Yeah.
It's unpleasant.
Yeah.
You know, but it's bearable.
Yeah. How many times a day do you have to give that speech?
Several. It usually a couple times a day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we try to talk people into it. I don't want to say talk people into it. Talk people out of their own way.
Sure. I know the answer to this, but have there been people who have jumped up on your tattoo board and you go and they're like, just kidding. Forget it.
Not anybody that's ever quit.
Really?
Yeah. I can talk people through a lot. You know, if somebody starts to get tattooed, I can talk them through it.
Okay.
I can lie to them through it. I can talk them through it.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of times, you know, basically once they start tattoo, I tell them, you got to finish the outline. And you talk them through it. A couple more minutes, you're doing really good. You can make the, you know, it's super easy. You need to talk them through it. And then you have other people that you'll, you know, be working on them and they're like, ah, it looks good like that. When you know it's not finished and you're like, oh, I just got to do one more thing.
Yeah.
And you just keep going, you know, or, oh, yeah, just let me finish this one last thing.
Well, because it's a reflection of your work, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you don't want it to look shitty.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't be like, look, guy, like, I got to finish this because you're going to be walking around. You're like a billboard for me.
And at the end of the day, they're going to appreciate it a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they might not be happy with you at that split second, when that tattoo is done and looks really nice, they're going to be a lot happier with it. And it took me a long time. People joke about like that I like hurting people or tattooers. Like, it took me a long time to get over hurting people.
Hmm.
And I actually had a big tattooer talk to me about that. He was tattooing me and we kind of were discussing that. And he said, you know, you really have to get over that because you might be hurting this person and they might be in a lot of pain, but when this tattoo is done, they're going to remember, you know, they're not going to remember that pain.
No.
They're going to remember how this tattoo looks.
It's like childbirth.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
Ask your wife.
Yeah. So I was there twice. I mean, I was there.
Doesn't count.
Oh.
I mean, it's not the same. But yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I always wondered this because obviously you see this in movies. Do you get people coming off the street? Although you guys aren't open late, right?
It's
not like you're not like a street shop where you're open late. But I always wondered like if you get people like stumble through or like
we still
have
do.
Had a few drinks and they're like, all right, I'm here for a tattoo.
Yeah, we still do. And we ask them to leave. You know, we'll talk to them a little bit, but we just tell them we can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, and some people, we've never had anybody get too rowdy. You know, some people will be like, oh, why not? And we'll just be like, you know, you've been drinking. Clearly you've been drinking. You know, if you want to talk to us tomorrow, come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we can't. I mean, legally, we can't even do it.
Okay. So,
and we wouldn't want to do it either.
Sure. Sure.
When people have been drinking, there's a couple aspects. Their blood is thinner, so they bleed a little more.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times when people are drinking, on the other aspect is they talk with their hands more, which means they're moving more.
Oh.
So it's like, I'm not going to do a good tattoo because you're jostling yourself around talking to me. And it just doesn't have the same, you know, like I need you to sit still. I don't need you to be dancing.
Yeah, and you need them of sound mind. I mean, they might not be making the best choice for themselves at that time.
Yeah.
So you're trying to protect them as well. Yep,
absolutely.
Assuming.
So I tell people, if I can tell that you're on anything, I won't tattoo you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have got burned one time, and I will tell this story. If you want to hear it, I will tell the story. I got burned one time by a guy. This was when I was in South Bend, and we are right off the main strip of South, like 933, and a cop car pulls a car over in our parking lot directly in front of us. Had nothing to do with us, just happened to be there. And ended up just, they busted these guys with a bunch of drugs. And they left the passenger there. They took the driver to jail. They impounded the car. And they just left the passenger there. And the passenger came in. He's like, can I get tattooed? I'm like, sure, why not? You know, sure. I'm like, okay, I need, you know, I'll take your money.
Uh-huh.
So I start tattooing him. And maybe like halfway through the tattoo, the guy's like starting to nod out. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? I'm like, you okay, buddy? He's like, yeah, I'm okay. He's like, when the cops pulled us over, I ate like 20 Xanax, which at the time that he came and talked to me, it hadn't kicked in.
Right.
So by the end of the tattoo, this dude's like drooling on himself. And I'm just like, what the hell am I going to do? Yeah.
So what did you do?
We finished the tattoo and then one of their guys took him home.
Oh
yeah.
Oh my gosh. Did he pay with the drug money?
Yeah.
Money is money.
Money is money. You know, I mean, I don't want to be that guy, but at the end of the day, my family needs to eat too.
Right, right. And think of the good that came out of that situation.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. So you decided to open up your own tattoo gallery. Call it gallery. So is yours, would you say yours is more of kind of like a tattoo boutique? Like, what are the differences in different tattoo parlors?
You know, I don't know if there's any difference.
Okay.
Especially nowadays, there's not much difference.
Okay.
Typically, I try to lean away from shop. Shop has a very like walk-in vibe. You know, walk off the street, get tattooed. And the shop I worked at was kind of that way because we were by Notre Dame. That was our clientele. It was like Notre Dame students that came in, got $50, you know, leprechauns, got $50 shamrocks, whatever it was. And as I traveled, I saw different studios in the way that I wanted my studio to be. I wanted it to be this like fully custom studio. Mm. So I wanted to stay away from that. So I kind of looked up names and I kind of came up with names. And gallery is kind of, it's art. You know, we have art in there as well. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of paintings. We paint. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of different things. So that was a big deal to me. And then when I came up with, you know, I tried to come up with a name for it. So I went over everything. And when I came up with conception, like the word conception literally means to bring forth a new notion. You know, a lot of people think of different things, but mm-hmm. literally means to bring forth a new notion. And at the time, the area was very stagnant in tattoos. It was, there was a biker shop, there was like a metalhead shop, and that's all there was. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to give people this new idea of like, look, this is what tattooing can be. It's so much bigger than St. Joe, Michigan.
Yeah.
And that's what we wanted to do. And that's kind of the way we portrayed it, is like, you know, we're trying to show people that tattooing is something greater than just picking something off the wall. Mm-hmm. And we're very, you know, we're very forefront about saying, you don't have to get tattooed by us. I have no problem if you don't get tattooed by me. Get a good tattoo. Come in and talk to me. Let's talk about it. And if I don't think I'm the right tattooer, I'll point you in the right direction. Sure. You know, education is the biggest thing. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, we want to educate people on what a good tattoo can be. Mm-hmm. And if they choose to get tattooed by us after that, perfect. As long as they get a good tattoo, I don't care where they get tattooed.
Right.
And that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of the day, if you came in and I didn't think that I was the right person to do your tattoo, mm-hmm. and I sent you to somebody else and they did a nice tattoo, you're going to remember that, hey, you know what? At least this guy's super honest.
Right.
You know, so you might send somebody to me and it might be exactly what I do. Mm-hmm. You know, but if I did your tattoo and did a shitty job, you're just going to tell people I did a shitty job.
Yes. And that's going to be way worse.
Yeah. And that's going to be way worse.
For you. Yeah, absolutely. So most painful spot to get a tattoo?
Besides like genitals is obvious.
Right.
You know, feet and ribs.
Yeah.
Both really bad. Sternum is really bad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Starter tattoos, best place.
You know, I don't necessarily like that idea. My biggest concern is that I want you to like your tattoo for the rest of your life. Uh-huh. It's permanent.
Yeah.
So I tell people all the time, don't worry about where it's going to hurt the least. Put it where you want it.
Good advice.
Because you're going to be in pain for, you know, in your instance, 5 minutes. Uh-huh. If that's where you wanted it,
yeah,
then you're going to be in pain for 5 minutes to have it exactly where you wanted it.
Right.
Whereas if I told you like, oh, the upper arm isn't as bad. Mm-hmm. You're still going to be in pain for 5 minutes. It might be a little less pain, but then you're going to get this tattoo on your upper arm that you're like, why the hell did I put that there?
Right.
So I try to really lean away from telling people like, this is a good starter spot because I want you to have this tattoo that you're going to be proud of the rest of your life.
See, and that speaks to your value as a
tattoo
artist. Yeah, mm-hmm. Quality. So I want to talk a little bit about, before I jump into your other things, I want to wrap up the discussion of tattoos because you talk about how you travel the country.
Yeah.
So why did you decide to do that? What was that like?
You know, again, at the time that I started tattooing, Facebook was in its infancy. It wasn't the same. You didn't have the connection with people.
Yeah.
Where now you can get on, you can see everything. Mm-hmm. At that point, the only way to see things was to travel. You could see things in tattoo magazines, you could see things in travel. And the best way to really learn and to get better was to travel and was to see people tattooing or get tattooed by people and just pick their brain. Mm-hmm. So we traveled all over the country tattooing at different tattoo conventions where you're literally tattooing next to, you know, could be the world's greatest tattooer right next to you. And you can literally, I can tattoo. And I can watch him tattoo, and you just kind of build your name that way, and you kind of build everything that way. And it's just the process of learning. You're just ever expanding your knowledge, and that's huge. Sure. Anytime you think you've figured it all out, you need to stop because you haven't figured it all out.
Yeah. I didn't know tattoo conventions were a thing.
They're huge.
Yeah?
Yeah. They're everywhere. Every weekend, there's one somewhere.
Really?
Yep.
And it's just a bunch of tattoo artists there, and they actually do tattoos while they're there.
Yep. And if you've ever been to any kind of convention, it's the same. I mean, the pipe and drape system that you see for any, it's the same thing. Tattooers lined up, tattooing. They're all over the place.
Right.
We actually are very fortunate in this area. Chicago has a really big one. Mm-hmm. Detroit has a really big one. Mm. And Columbus, Ohio might have the biggest one in the world.
Really?
Yeah. It's called Hell City. It's huge. Mm-hmm. And that's a really, like all, it's a very important tattoo convention. So anytime you get to travel to that one or get to attend that one, it's a big deal. And I've been fortunate enough to work it about five times. Hmm. I've been invited. It's an invite only. I've been fortunate enough to be invited about five times to go. And that experience is just phenomenal. And you really get to see things and learn. And in this new age of tattooing, that's what it's about. Mm-hmm. And I want to say before that biker mentality was, you know, everything was held in itself. Where, you know, there was nothing they would do, you know, they wouldn't share info with anybody. They would, you know, if somebody started tattooing on your property, you know, whatever your area, they'd like break your hands, which is ridiculous. Where now it's like everybody shares information. The only way I'm going to get better is if you get better. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of push each other. It's that sled dog effect.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you work together or not. I'm friends with all the local tattooers and we push each other.
Sure.
Because that's how we're all going to get better. And that's what like these conventions is about, is just kind of pushing each other to get better. And you see new things. People come up with weird techniques or weird ideas that you never think could be done. And then before you know it, everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
And everybody's pushing to the next thing. So.
Oh, that is pretty cool. Yeah. I never thought about it that way. So, you know, you're really breaking the stereotype. You have tattoos, you tattoo people, and then you also shoot guns.
I do.
So talk about that. How did you get, what is it, and how did you get into that?
So I shoot 3-gun competitively. Mm-hmm. I'm a national level shooter. I'm sponsored by Lucas Oil, Coda Evolution, Black Arsenal. I'm sponsored by, I have several sponsors that help me out, which really helps the shooting out.
For
and
sure.
I have to say that first and foremost, yes. Because I wouldn't be anywhere without them shooting.
Yeah.
It is a competitive-based shooting where it's accuracy and time.
Okay.
There's a lot of different shooting competitions. Some are strictly accuracy-based. You have all the time in the world to hit this target. Ours is very fast-paced. It's very run and gun, shoot. I've always been a more athletic person. I've always been an athlete. Mm-hmm. So this was kind of more in my alley of wanting to run around and do things. And have more fun.
Yeah.
And actually, the way we started is I had the guns. I've grown up, you know, a hunter, grew up with guns. I had these guns. And we would shoot with a couple of my buddies. And one day, my buddy sent me a video of a 3-gun match. And he's like, man, this is really cool. We need to find this. So we set up some backyard 3-gun stages, which is the 3-gun is rifle, pistol, shotgun.
Okay.
It's a course of fire that's set up with those.
What kind of rifle, pistol, shotgun? Is it always the same or you get to decide?
Typically, it's always the same.
Okay.
Everybody has a little different setup, you know, customized to themselves. The main usually is a 9mm pistol,
a
AR-15, just a semi-automatic rifle, sporting rifle, and a semi-automatic shotgun, typically 12-gauge. Those are the 3 firearms. There are some deviations that people kind of throw out there, but for the standard, that's about what it is.
Okay.
And the course of fire is they'll have targets set up that like X targets are pistol, Y targets are shotgun, Z targets are rifle, and you have to engage them in a certain order, or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Every course of fire is different. Mm-hmm. So my buddy sent me this, and we were like, oh, this is really cool. So we kind of set some backyard up. We didn't really know what the hell we were doing. And we shot it a couple of times. We're like, oh, that was a lot of fun. Like, I wonder where this is. And we started looking around, and sure enough, there's a club in our backyard, basically, in Niles. And at the time, I lived in Niles. I literally live 4 seconds from this place. I could throw a rock and hit this place.
Way.
I had no clue it was even there. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So we went down there and gave it a shot. We didn't really know what we were doing. I mean, we knew the rules.
Was it at? What course?
Bend of the River.
Bend of the River.
Bend of the River Conservation Club.
I was just there last weekend.
So I literally live on, I used to live on the other side of the bypass.
Really?
From Bend of the River, right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that place.
Yeah,
I've been
great.
There a couple times recently.
Yeah, great place. I'm now, as you say that, I'm one of the match directors there.
You are?
Yeah, I'm a member. I'm one of the match directors there for 3-gun. That was a long time coming to build that. But but at the start, we went down there. We didn't really know what we were doing. You know, I'd read a bunch of the rules. So I knew the rules.
Mm-hmm.
We knew basic gun safety. Mm-hmm. So we went down there and we shot the match. And at this time, the way this tabulated scores would take forever because it was basically done in Excel. Somebody had to manually enter all these scores and figure it out. So it was like a week before these scores came out. And when the scores came out, somehow I managed to win my division. And I'm like, oh man, I must be good at this.
Yeah.
So then you get into it more.
Yeah.
And the more I got into it, the more I realized I'm really bad at this. Like, I just got lucky. Yeah. But I've always been that person that it really drives me. Like, I want to be better. No matter what I do, when I jump into it, I want to get better. So I started, like, that was in September of 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I shot one more match in October of 2014. And then I spent that whole winter practicing. That's all I did because there's no matches around here in the winter.
Okay.
Anybody that knows, we're in Southwest Michigan.
Yeah.
Snows.
Things shut down. Yeah. It's been snowing all day today.
Yeah, things shut down. You can't do anything. So I practiced all winter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hit it hard in 2015 and just kind of shot matches and got better. And fortunately, there are some really top-level pros in Michigan that I met at like my third match. And then I just buddied up with those guys. And those guys took me with them.
Sure.
And just helped me build, you know, my passion and my skill set to where it is today.
And so you travel all around for this?
I do. This year, well, I say this year, it's 2019.
Mm-hmm.
2018, I traveled all over the country. I shot in Florida. I've shot in Missouri, Kentucky. Let's see, Illinois, Indiana, Tennessee. I mean, I've shot every, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we travel all over the place, and you just, the point of traveling is, and again, just like in tattooing, you're meeting different shooters and you're learning things and you start shooting with better and better shooters. I've been fortunate enough to shoot with some of the best shooters in the world on accident one time. There was a match in Florida that we got squatted on, or we set up and went to shoot, and they're called squads. So they break everybody up into like 14 people squads for the match.
Squaggles. Hashtag squaggles.
Something like that. Yeah. And we got stuck on the super squad, which is all the top level shooters.
Oh.
So it was like all these top level guys and then like three of us that didn't really belong there.
Yeah.
But it was the coolest experience in the world.
Huh.
Yeah. So out of the 14 guys on our squad, 10 of them finished in the top 20.
Wow.
So it was just at a national level match. Yeah. So it was like, we just got fortunate that, you know, that I happened to be on the squad.
Sure. But you, I mean, you're nationally ranked
at
this point.
I am now. I wasn't at that time, but I am now.
Yeah. Yeah.
The last time I looked, I try not to look a whole lot.
Sure.
The last time I looked in my division, I was ranked 37th in the nation.
Uh-huh.
So I try not to look a lot because it just gets in my head.
Yeah.
I have finished the last 4 years in a row at third place at the Michigan State match. And it kills me because I cannot break third place, to the point that this year I finished third place. I text my wife and said, oh, I finished third again. And she said, well, at least we know you're not getting worse.
You made the podium.
With that being said, the two guys that beat me are national champions.
Okay.
So I can take that.
Of course.
But it's just,
of course, the best shooters are from Michigan.
It's just frustrating. Actually, it really is.
Yeah.
If you look at the best shooters in three gun, it's Michigan, Missouri, and Texas.
Yeah.
By far.
We love our guns.
Those three states just outweigh every other state. Yeah. It's amazing.
Is there a women's division?
Yeah. There's a lot of really phenomenal women that shoot too. Hmm. There is a couple women that are right there with all the top guys.
All right. Because I just smoked a coyote at 120 yards last weekend.
Nice.
I'm thinking maybe I need to try this out.
Try it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
So we shoot third Sunday of every month, April through October.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We'll come out. I've got all the guns.
You know, I have guns.
No.
I do.
I have race guns.
Okay. All right.
I have guns that'll go
fast.
Here's
my problem. I'm fine with rifles. Great shot with a rifle.
Yeah.
Great shot with a shotgun. Oh, handguns
are
a different beast.
It's the hardest thing to shoot.
So hard.
Yep.
And you would think they're so easy.
Yeah.
And I the first time I shot one, I couldn't hit a damn thing.
Yep.
And I was like, what am I doing wrong? What? How am I, like, just a different beast.
Yeah, without getting too nerdy, because
people
probably don't care.
Whatever.
The barrel length.
Yeah.
Takes out. You know, it takes out all the leeway.
Yeah.
So with a shotgun and a rifle,
yeah,
because the barrel length is so far and the sight radius is so far that it's a lot more forgiving.
Yeah.
With a pistol, I mean, if you're off even, you know, just a smidge, you're off by 3 feet by the time it gets to the target.
Yes. It's very frustrating.
It's very frustrating.
Yeah. That's why if you break it into my house, anybody out there.
Good luck.
I have a shotgun
because
I can't miss with that damn thing.
Shotgun's best. Actually, if we want to get into this, shotgun's the best home defense gun you can have.
So I've heard.
It's the safest.
Uh-huh.
Because if you have a shotgun and you have, let's say, birdshot in it, it will not leave your house.
Right. Right.
If you shoot somebody with a rifle or a pistol.
Right.
That thing's traveling. It is traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever that bullet goes, you're responsible for it.
Yep. I've heard that.
Shotguns are definitely the safest home defense.
Yes.
It's loud. It'll suck, but it won't leave your house and you won't be liable for some other issues.
And if there's a burglar downstairs, there's nothing like the sound of my 12 gauge pump loading into the chamber.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll pee their pants and run out of my house.
They would. They would.
That's the plan, at least. That's what I'm hoping for. All right. So, tattoo artist, you open your own gallery. You know, you're an artist and you do strive for perfection. Then you transfer that over to a competitive three gun. You want to be the best. You want to keep learning. You want to keep doing things. And then, so that's kind of a common theme in your life. And then let's jump over to your other passion now. And that is another area that you want to continue to grow and be the best. And that is as a podcast host.
Yeah. And that honestly kind of came out of three gun.
Mm-hmm.
Early on in three gun, I was looking for anything to learn. And almost exactly when I started shooting, a podcast came out called The Three Gun Show.
Oh.
Brand new podcast, you know, and that's all this guy did was talk about three gun. And it fascinated me. I wanted to learn everything I could. So I listened to this and then I became friends with that guy. And then I started talking to him about it. And I actually was a guest on his show And it just kind of evolved. And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, I love podcasts at this point.
They're the best.
Yeah, I love them. And I started listening to them all the time. And I thought it was amazing. And I'm like, I think I would really like to do this. And I had been guests on a couple of podcasts. And it was a lot of fun. And I'm like, oh, I want to do this. What should I do? You know, I needed a concept. And I came up with all these like silly concepts that, you know, at first I was like, I'll talk about tattoos. And I'm like, yeah, that's really limited.
Yeah.
I'll talk about shooting. I'm like, well, one of my friends already has a shooting podcast. Yeah,
and you're like, that's even more limited.
Yeah, that's even more limited. Mm-hmm. I'll talk about tattooing and shooting. Well, now that's really limited.
Now I have five people.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. So as it kind of evolved and I kind of try to figure out what I want to do, I sit and talk to people all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost the biggest part of my job. I tattoo, but I sit and talk to people all day. And everybody wants to tell me their life story or tell me stories. Tell me whatever this tattoo is about or any story for that matter.
Yeah.
And the more I thought about it, I'm like, I love hearing these stories and I love sharing these stories. And some of these stories are really, will really affect me. I mean, I've had days where I've come home in tears because of someone's story.
Sure.
Whether it's super inspiring or, you know, it just brings you down. Now, I don't want to say brings you down, but you're just like, oh, I feel so terrible for this person because of what they had to go through. And I realized that there was power in that, that you can, by sharing these stories, you can empower people. So then I'm like, oh, there's my idea. Let's talk about stories. You know, let's talk about these stories that kind of, you know, shaped people. You know, I've got stories that shaped me. Mm-hmm. You've got stories that shaped you. Everybody does. It's everybody.
If you just listen, right?
Yeah. If you just listen, everybody's got a story. Mm-hmm. So then it was, well, what do I do? You know, like, okay, stories, what do we do? And then I developed these like stupid ideas of like trying to come up with an idea of like what this show would be called because you want a catchy name.
Yeah.
You know, Hustle and Heels, that's fucking phenomenal.
Alliteration, baby.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, you know, I'm trying to come up with this cool name and I'm like, I was explaining to somebody what the show was and I'm like, you know, it's these stories that kind of like shape people. You know, it's stories that, you know, it forged us in the people we are. It really made us who we are. And it was like light bulb moment. I was like, oh, made us. And then I was also like, that's so good that there's no way it's not taken.
No, shit. I know it's such a good name.
Yeah. I was like, there's no way that it's not taken.
Right.
And I did a bunch of research and I'm like, shit, it's not taken. So I kind of got on a few things just to have it.
Yeah.
And then I was going to do it myself. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
And at this point, I become friends with Bob and I'm basically neighbors.
Tattoo artist,
I'm his tattooer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm basically neighbors with Bob.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking to him about it just because he's a podcaster. Yeah. I didn't really have any idea of him helping me. Mm-hmm. So I kind of brought the idea to him and we talked about it. And he's like, oh, I think it's a really good idea. So I'm like, oh, cool. What should I buy? Yeah. What do I need to buy to do this? And he's like, why the hell would you buy anything? I'm like, because I want to do a podcast, man. Like, why wouldn't I buy something? He's like, dude, you know, literally I'm two houses down from him. He's like, dude, there's a studio right here. Why would you not just record there? I'm like, well, I don't want to do that. Like, that's not, you know, I'm not trying to use you. That's not my thing. And that's kind of how that conversation ended.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was maybe like 2 weeks later, we start talking about it again. He's like, no, seriously. He's like, I think it's a good idea. Record here. And then we sat down one night and that was it. And it was, we just kind of went from there and it's turned into something that I'm really proud of.
Yep.
The stories that we share, you never know where it's going to go. Yep. You know, some stories will really inspire you. There are stories that will absolutely make you cry.
Mm-hmm.
There are stories that you're going to laugh the entire time. But one thing's for sure, when you're done with that, you're going to be smiling and you're going to feel better and you're going to be motivated. And that's all I want to do. And if I can help one person with that whole show, that's all that matters.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love your show. And I think the concept's fantastic. And I had a fun time when I was on it. And I just think you bring some really inspirational people and we can all learn from
their absolutely.
Stories. I mean, I just love the whole idea of everybody does have a story.
Absolutely.
I mean, and it's just, you know, asking the questions and letting them tell those stories. And there are these common themes, these humanitarian themes or these, you know, these concepts that we all deal with. It's just a matter of how we deal with them or how we overcome the different adversities that we face in our life and who will rise to the challenge and who will crumble, you know? And so you tend to talk to people who rise to the challenge and who overcome those odds and who, you know, live life to the fullest. And I think it's just a really cool concept. And
thank you. That really means a lot.
Folks should definitely check it out. I mean, obviously, it's an MBI Studio family podcast, but it's some good shit.
Thank you. That really means a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's tell people before we wrap up here, Where can they find you? And I want to talk about where they can find you if they're looking for some inspiration for tattoos, or if they're local and maybe they want a tattoo artist, because I highly recommend. I mean, he can make a damn good Spartan helmet. I mean, you shouldn't get that unless you complete the trifecta. So where can they find you there? And then where can they find your podcast?
So tattooing wise, mm-hmm. you can find me on Facebook, Zach Weaver, Z-A-Q Weaver. I'm the only one that comes up.
Yes.
Matter of fact, if you type Z-A-Q, you'll find every one of my pages will come up immediately. Mm-hmm. You can hit me up there on my personal page. You can find there's a Tattoos by Zach Weaver page on Facebook. You can also look up Conception Gallery on Facebook. There's a page for that. We got rid of our website because websites are almost outdated now.
Yeah, no one uses websites.
Yeah, it was a waste of money.
Yeah.
So we stopped using it because Facebook just drives traffic to us.
Absolutely.
So you can find us at Conception Gallery. Mm-hmm. And I think it's even at Conception Gallery if you look it up. That's the easiest place to find us. Mm-hmm. Or you can stop by the studio. We're in downtown St. Joe. Ask anybody. They'll find you. It's got the big CG on the window.
Yeah.
You can find us.
Yeah.
For shooting, again, you type in ZAQ. There's a page that comes up that says Zach Weaver, competitive shooter. Mm-hmm. Right there. You can ask me any questions. I also, again, am the match director at Bend of the River Conservation Club. So if you look on Facebook again, B-O-R-C-C, 3-Gun, you can find us there. And then for the podcast, you can find us on any social media platform at Made Us Podcast. And you can find us pretty much anywhere like that. Any podcast app you have, we're on it.
Yep.
I was actually very fortunate. I had a really good listener sit down and make sure that I was submitted to every podcatcher that was out there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. She emailed me and she's like, "You're not on this one." And I'm like, "Okay, I'll get submitted." She's like, "Well, here, let me look." And she went through and found everyone that I wasn't on. And submitted them for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. So I'm on every podcast app that's out there.
That's awesome.
Made Us Podcast.
It's good stuff. And so if you have not listened, I would highly recommend that you listen. We will we'll share Zach's information out on our Facebook page as well. So you can find him there. And really appreciate you joining me tonight.
I appreciate you having me. It was awesome.
In the studio. It was great. And
These heels are killing me right now. But
they're worth it, though.
They are worth it.
Yeah. I mean, beauty... It comes at a price, Zach.
Yeah.
Like you just gotta
start wearing them
more. You've got to be willing to put in the work.
Thank you so much for having me tonight.
I appreciate it. So thanks everybody for listening. And we hope that you will join us next week. Follow us on all of our social media platforms. And if you have a comment or a suggestion, feel free to shoot me an email at letschat@hahpod.com. Hope you all enjoy your week. See you later, hustlers.
Hustlin' in Heels is an NBI Studios production. Your hosts are Stacy Carlin and Angie Crocker. All views and opinions expressed on the show are theirs and theirs alone. Your executive producer is Michael Bussing, and all music and artwork for the show was created by Shane Yoder with PutThemInASong.com. You can follow along with Stacy and Angie on all forms of social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at HIHpod. You can also send the show an email to letschat@hihpod.com. Feel free to write into the show if you're hustling in heels, tennis shoes, work boots, slippers, socks, or barefoot. So be sure to reach out to us if you've got a question, comment, want to suggest a guest, or even if you'd like to be a part of the show. That's all the ladies have today, so make sure you tune in next Wednesday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time for their newest episode. But until then, keep on hustling, ladies.